Remain seated for the reading of the Gospel, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28.
They told me I was a fool for pestering Jesus, but I didn't know what else to do. All the healers, the prayers, the incantations over my daughter were for nothing. I was going to lose her. Her torments grew stronger every day. I feared for her life. I love her so much, and I didn't know what to do. And then Jesus came to town. Now, I'd heard of all the wonderful things he'd been doing, because word gets around. And I wondered if he might be able to help me. Now, I'm not an Israelite. I'm a foreigner in this land. My faith background is not of the Israelite faith. They told me I didn't even belong there. Who do you think you are? They shouted at me. You're not one of us. You don't belong here. Get away from Jesus. But I didn't listen to them, or at least I didn't do what they wanted. I went to Jesus and I tugged on his robe and I pled for my daughter's restoration. The disciples said, "Send her away, Lord. Oh, please, Lord, please heal my daughter." And Jesus, he looked at me and he said that he had come for the lost sheep of Israel. Well, I didn't care. I took a risk. Oh, Lord, please, please heal my daughter. And then Jesus looked at the crowd. And he said that the bread was for the chosen people, the people of Israel. It was not right to take the bread from them and throw it to the dogs. I was astonished. A dog? I was a dog? So I summoned up my courage and I said, "Even the dogs can eat the crumbs from under the master's table." I wasn't asking for the whole thing, just one healing for one little girl, that's all. Jesus looked at me with compassion in his eyes and he said, "Woman, thy faith is strong. It shall be done as thou wish." I was astonished. I was amazed. It shall be done as I wish. My daughter would be healed. It's true. My daughter, she's healed. She's well. She's whole. And so am I. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your compassion on a foreigner in need. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Who are you? Who are you? If you had to describe yourself to somebody, how would you do it? What's the first thing you would say? What else? What would you say? Who else? Somebody else. Child of God. What else? Who else? How would you describe yourself? Brian, I've never met you before. You're going to decide, "Hey, Brian, who are you?" I'm going to look up to you and I say, "Who are you, sir?"
"I don't know."
That's honest. Sure. You're not alone because nobody else here knows who they are either.
I'm an American.
Well, that's a good description too. The first thing you say is going to be of the most importance. So the first thing you tell somebody is really the most important. And what Peggy said is really should be our answer. She said, "I'm a child of God." When I was young, I don't know, about 14, it's like a picture in my brain. We were coming home from the store, I think. It was me and my mom. And my mom said to me, it was a summer day. She said, who are you? She goes, describe to me who you are. And the first thing I said was that I'm a child of God, because we were church-going people. I said, I'm a child of God. I am Howard and Betty Judy's son. I think I even said that I am Kathy and Midge and David's brother, and my name is Bruce Judy. And she got this look on her face. She was astounded. She said, you know, that's right. That's how you should answer that. Very good. Start with the most important thing first. When we start with, hi, I'm Bruce, it's all about Bruce then. We start with, I'm a child of God, it's all about Jesus. I'm a Christian. It's important to know who we are, to realize that. Because when we realize that we are a child of God, then we can stand on the promises of God. We know that if we stand for God, God stands for us. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? That's important. This woman who came to Jesus, she had a daughter who was demon-possessed and suffering terribly, the Bible says. Suffering terribly. Not just some aches and pains, but I mean no peace, no rest, horrible suffering. Now we all know, at least we should know, that when you're sick in your spirit, when you're distraught, emotionally upset, if you're like that for a long period of time, you then become physically ill. When you're sick in your spirit, you become physically ill after a while. Stress does that to all the time. And here this woman was begging for her daughter because she was afflicted by demons. Now, I've wrestled with this passage. This is lectionary reading. Means it's a weekly schedule of readings. And Jesus didn't say anything at first. Well, sure, she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Hebrew, you know, not a Jew. But at first he ignored her, because he knew what was going on with his disciples. He knew they weren't happy with her. See, because she was following them and crying out, help me, help my daughter, help me, have mercy on us. And so when the woman approached him, he says, you know, it's not right to take the bread from the children's table and give it to the dogs. Like Diane said, taking the blessings from the children of Israel and giving them to foreigners. It's not right to do that, because this is God's chosen people, the Jews. And this woman persists. The fascinating thing is that the disciples, followers of Jesus, said to him, tell her to go away. She's bothering us. She was different than them. So they didn't accept her. They rejected her. They wanted her gone. Get her out of here. Tell her to go away. Because she doesn't fit in. She doesn't belong here. Interesting how God works. This is the lectionary reading. I struggled with it, but this is the main point. That woman persisted in her faith. Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And he said, you have great faith, therefore your request is granted. She was made one with everybody else in faith. Tell her to go away. Sounds an awful lot like the racism that we're suffering today. All the terrorism that's going on. Charlottesville, Barcelona, all of the stuff that's going on today. When will we quit looking at what's on the outside of a person and start looking at their hearts? When will we quit looking at how a person dresses or how much money they make or whether they've got tattoos and body piercings. When are we going to quit looking at all that and start loving people? Not for what they're like on the outside, but for what they're like on the inside. Because the Bible says we're to do that. The Bible makes it clear. How are we to love God if we can't love our brother whom we've seen? How can we love God whom we haven't seen? It says, Paul said that that in Jesus there is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male nor female. Everybody is one in Christ. We are all one in the faith. It's, when we have communion, we have one loaf because we're all members of that one loaf. So when I go up to you and ask you, who are you? Your first answer is? Child of God. And I say, oh, so am I. Hey, who are you?
Born again Christian.
Born again Christian? So am I. Nice to meet you. This makes us family. Who are you?
Christian.
So am I. That makes us family. Who are you?
Son of God.
Son of God. Well, I was going to get down to worship there. Well, so am I. Child of God, too. Man. Makes us family. We may look different. We may sound different. We may act different. But we're still family. Because we're all part of the family of God. Every one of us. Christians. Born again. Spirit-filled. Washed in the blood. That makes us closer family than our genetic makeup. But we don't seem to get it. If you don't go to our church... And listen, I know preachers and I know churches who preach this. If you don't go to this church, you're going to hell. Oh, isn't that a crazy thing to tell your parishioners? If you're a Methodist, you're going to hell. I've heard that said too. If you're Catholic, you're going to hell. I've heard that said. Presbyterian, Baptist, you name it. See, what is the matter with us? Yeah, and I've said this one before. God sends Samuel to anoint David to be king. Samuel goes to Jesse's house, looks at all of Jesse's sons. Big, tall, strapping, handsome people. You know, big guys. Really good looking. Some of them were bald with an ear missing. You know, they look really handsome. Did you get their names, Mike? People laughed. And God kept saying, no, no, no. Just because they look like they should be a king doesn't make them a king. Because, and the Bible says, because God does not look at the outward appearance of a person. He looks at the heart. Samuel says, don't you have any other kids? Any other boys? And he says, yeah, one more. He's out tending the sheep. He says, we won't sit down until he gets here. Send for him. And of course, it's David. We're not to look at the outside of one another. We're not to look at the outside of other people. We are to love them in the name of Jesus. Witness to them. And the Canaanite woman was an outsider, according to the followers of Jesus, until Jesus brought her into the fold. Yeah, racism, you know, the buck stops here. You can't be a racist and be a Christian. It doesn't work. God loves you, and so do I. Well, I've got some illustrations I wanted to use, too. I love watching movies. Was watching a movie late the other night called The Pilgrimage, about monks in 6th century Ireland. They were moving a relic across Ireland to send it to France. And there were soldiers out to stop that. And the one fellow who was helping the monks, he was talking about how his father got into trouble for hiding heretics from the church. And he said, my father didn't lose his faith in the church. He lost his fear of the church. Boy, that stopped me. Right, that's all I can think of for the rest of the movie. Because we have our faith in the church. We have our faith in the name of Jesus. But we've lost our fear, our respect, our reverence, our awe of the church of Jesus, what he's called us to do. We need to go out and stop racism. And I'm not just talking about color. I'm talking about people who are on the fringes of society that need us. They need us to be bold in our faith. They need us to invite them in. They need us to share the gospel with them. They need us to pour out our extravagant love of Jesus on them. Okay, God loves you and so do I.